Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Thursday morning, and usually we got Pastor John English from Galloway Full Gospel preaching for us, but we've got a guest here this morning, and I've been looking forward to this, and I'm going to let Pastor John introduce her.
Well, as usual, it's so good to be with you guys on the line this morning. I will be honest with you, I'm going to miss preaching to you this morning, but I think you're in for a treat. My sister is going to be giving her testimony. Her name is Darlene Holcomb, and I will tell you right now that this woman has been a tremendous blessing in my life, all of my life. She is so dear to my heart, and as I look and see what God has done in her life, and as I see what kind of a woman of God she's become today, I tell you that I am just blessed beyond measure. So this morning, I believe you're going to be blessed. My sister Darlene, she's going to give her testimony. Darlene, go ahead and take it from there. Hey, Darlene. She got cut off.
All right, sister, it's all yours.
Okay, good morning. First of all, I want to thank Brother Skip for the opportunity to testify about God's amazing power of deliverance and forgiveness. And I pray that it will be a blessing and minister to someone this morning. Father, right now I just ask you, Lord God, that you would touch my lips of clay, Lord. God, that you would speak through me, God, and this testimony is to glorify you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My family got saved on Easter Sunday morning in 1980, but it wasn't until about 1985 that I truly gave my heart to the Lord. My husband Roy and I, we attended church faithfully in Dallas. We were Sunday school teachers first, and then in 1989 we became youth pastors. Until 1995, and I can honestly say that that was the best time of our lives, serving the Lord and doing the work of the Lord, and we were really on fire for the Lord. We had a wonderful youth group. We ran about, I don't know, 75 to 100 kids at one point. But because of Roy's job, he was put on the night shift, and we ended up giving up our position. And I believe it was around the year of 2000 that things began to change. We started slacking off church. We started missing some Sunday nights and then some Wednesday nights, and before you know it, we'd become Sunday morning-only Christians. And it was a really big mistake. Because how many of you know that if you give the devil an inch, he will take a mile, and he will never be satisfied until he has. Anyway, we had gotten close to a couple that drank a little. And these were good people. I mean, they were good moral people. They had good careers and a nice home. And we'd gotten close to them. And so we started to drink a little. And you know how it goes when you start hanging around people. You think you're going to be a good example on them, and it really ends up being the opposite. But at this time, I only drank on the weekends. And I would, you know, reason with myself and say, well, you know, I only have a few beers on the weekend. I still love the Lord. He knows my heart. So in my mind, that made it okay. But it was the summer of 2000 that my 20th high school reunion came along, and I planned on going. I think, or maybe even I even knew and I planned on getting drunk because I quit the church choir. I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and so I thought, well, that'll make it okay if I quit the church choir and I'm not up there singing and plan on going out drinking. I wanted to see a lot of my old friends, and I wanted to fit in. I didn't want to be seen as a Bible thumper or a holy roller. So after that night, it brought even more party people into my life. And instead of me being a witness for Christ, it became more like I was part of them and part of the world. We were invited to every party, and I felt like I was in control and everything was going to be okay and life was going along really good, and I could stop at any time. I was still going to church at least on Sunday mornings, but, you know, when you start to backslide, it doesn't happen all at once. The darkness settles over us a little at a time, and we grow accustomed to it a little at a time, and we just go on and don't really realize, you know, the darkness all at once. But we would go to bars and to parties, and I remember when I would lock our trailer door, I would pray and ask the Lord to watch over us. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. But several years later, my drinking on a weekend turned into drinking almost every night. If I wasn't drinking, it was because I was hungover and sick from the night before. We were still going to church on most Sunday mornings, and I would sit there under such conviction, weeping on the inside. No one knew how far I had fallen but me and God. I remember one Sunday morning at the altar, I felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling and that God didn't care, when the elder of our church came and whispered in my ear, "Darling, you're the apple of God's eye." Oh, I caved at that point. I cried bitterly till I had no more tears to cry. But as soon as we left the church and before we even got home, the devil had stolen that blessing from me. I wanted to keep drinking, was the truth. I knew I was going to drink that night, and that had a hold on me. And I remember another Sunday morning that I didn't go to church because I was too hungover. My brother called, Pastor John. He called and said, "Where were you?" And I had laid in bed that morning with such condemnation in my heart, all the lies and accusations of the enemy coming against me. And all I could tell him was, I didn't want to be around a bunch of perfect people. You know, the devil never wasted an opportunity to tell me what a low-life sinner I was. And he was right. But his lies and accusations that God didn't love me and that I had gone too far to be forgiven, God was so disappointed in me, it was a constant torment. Seems like I was always the life of the party because there was nothing, almost nothing, that I wouldn't do if I were not drunk enough. By this time, I'm drinking about 1.5 to 2 cases of beer a week. The guilt and the shame was awful. And I think I drank more to ease the pain, to cover up the sadness that I felt in my heart. I remember one morning after Roy left for work, and let me tell you, this was wreaking havoc on my marriage. We fought often over something I had done or said the night before. When he tried to get me to quit drinking and go to bed, we would end up in a big fight. I had become so foul-mouthed. It was really sad. But after he left that morning, I got a cassette player out, and I put a gospel cassette in, and I laid in bed, and I held that little cassette player up to my ear. And I cried and I cried and I begged God to help me, begged God to forgive me over and over. But all I could feel was emptiness. And I realized I was no longer in control. In fact, my life was out of control. I actually hated myself at this time because I knew, that's what's so hard about this. I knew that I wasn't living right. But I had just gone so far. And I just didn't know how to get back. I hate to say it, but in 2008, things got worse. Roy and I sold our house. We bought a 38-foot fifth wheel, and we hit the road to go full-time RVing. It should have been a happy, exciting experience, but it wasn't. I sold our home, like I said, the only home I'd ever known other than living with my parents. Ended up selling my car. I had a cleaning business that I sold. But what was most devastating was leaving my family in Dallas in my church of 28 years. And after we left town, we no longer went to church at all. But don't get me wrong, we had some wonderful times. We visited a lot of different states, sightseeing, museums, and we met a lot of wonderful people, friends that we still have today that we met on the road. But my drinking came first. Even if I had to drink alone, always, you know, but that was always first in my life. Come 2 or 3 o'clock, that was it. Wherever we were, let's go, you know, let's go home. It's pop-top time. But I always found someone to drink with, usually, and always found someone to act like a fool with me. But a long time before 2008, I was having blackouts, not remembering much of the night before. Most mornings when I would wake up, I would try to remember what happened the night before. Some parts I remembered, sometimes it was past a certain point. I wouldn't remember anything after that. And I would roll over and cry. Oh, it was a terrible feeling, always wishing to be free, to be happy. Almost at the exact same time that Roy and I sold our house and started RVing, my brother and his family moved to Springfield, Missouri to pastor the greatest church in the world. And then 1 year later, my parents also moved there. So now we're stopping by Springfield every summer to see my family. And we would attend my brother's church on Sunday morning. And let me tell you something. Sitting under my brother's preaching was like being dangled over the pits of hell. And that wasn't easy for someone in a backslid condition like I was. My feet got hot. I was nervous. There was so much pain and turmoil in my heart. I believe there was a literal struggle for my soul. I really do. The conviction was so strong, and I was miserable sitting in that chair. I could barely sit in my chair. And I remember that my mom, next to me, full of the Holy Ghost, saved and filled with the Holy Ghost since 1980, she just shouted amen and hallelujah, and God, I can't tell you how annoying that was for a backslid person to sit in that conviction and hear my mom praise the Lord and say amen and hallelujah. I really wanted to get up and leave that morning. I just wanted to look at her and was like, do you have to be so loud and so joyful, Mom? But I even went to the altar that morning, and I held on to my brother for dear life as he prayed for me. I just felt like he was my only source of life at that point. But I left Springfield. I was touched but not changed. And it was the year before my deliverance. Between June 2010 and June 2011, I felt utterly alone and hopeless. And it was truly the worst year of my life. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Absolutely had no joy and no self-respect. But it was June 1st, 2011, that God delivered me. And why he chose to do it the way he did, I don't know. I think I came to the end of myself that day. And I was standing in the book section, of all places, at Walmart. A deep depression really engulfed my soul. When my eyes fell on a book on the bookshelf, and it was a self-help book, I bought it, and I hid it in my purse. When we got home, I went to the bedroom to read it, and it was full of God's Word. It was God's powerful Word that just leapt off the pages, and I hadn't read my Bible in years, and I had forgotten all of God's amazing promises. I cried like a baby, realizing how deceived I had been. So I believed Satan's lie that God didn't love me anymore, and he wouldn't forgive me. I do believe I was living the life I was living greatly grieved the heart of God, but he never stopped loving me. And as I continued to read the scriptures, God opened my eyes and revealed to my heart that he loved me with an everlasting love. I felt overwhelmed by his love, and I felt pure joy and peace that I hadn't felt in 11 years. I knew instantly that I would never drink again, and the desire to drink was completely gone. The darkness was gone. The foreboding doom that I carried around was gone. The bondage was broken. Praise God. When I told Roy what had happened, he was happy, but I think he was skeptical at first. I knew I would have to show and be an example about what God had done in my life. Everything at that moment, it had changed. My attitude had changed. I stopped cursing. Things were okay before were no longer okay, like telling dirty jokes. I didn't tell them anymore, and I didn't want to hear them anymore. 1 Peter 1:15 says, that be ye holy in all manner of conversation. As I got back into God's Word, I realized where I went wrong. For me, I believe it was when I was, you know, in church and I began to slack off going to church. And Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assemblings of ourselves together. That was my first mistake, is slacking off going to church. Being faithful to church attendance is so vital. Number two is, I think, when I started hanging out with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And verse 17 says, Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you as my sons and daughters. That was huge right there. When you start hanging out with unbelievers, you may think you're going to be the good example on them, and they're going to see Christ in you, but it's going to end up going the other way around. And number three is when I started partaking of the things of the world. James 4:4 says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I believe those three things is what got me off the road of despair. I've done a lot of shameful things in my past, but because of God's great love and mercy, I am free today. I am free. I'm free. The bondage has been broken. I no longer desire the thought of a drink or to party. And I can't even tell you how God has blessed my life since my day of deliverance. In closing, if there is someone on this line or who may be listening to this by the way of CD, if you are dabbling in alcohol, drugs, even if you think it's one drink, a couple of pills, it's no big deal, let me tell you something. Sin will take you farther than you ever intended to go, and it will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. When I started slacking off church, never did I dream that I was giving the devil a foothold into the doorway of my heart, and never did I dream that it would take me down that road of despair. Please let my testimony be a warning to you that when we give the devil even an inch, he will not stop until he has complete control over your heart and your life, and what a miserable life that will be. Romans 8:6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I just encourage anyone to turn to God's Word for guidance. That's another area where I went wrong. I quit reading the Word of God. I got out of the Word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and reading and hearing sermons, going to church and being faithful. Today I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, heart, mind, body, and soul. I have no regrets. I have no regrets. As I was writing out my testimony, I rewrote it like three times. I was getting writer's cramp. To recall my past, I felt disgust and shame almost. But every time I would get to the end of the story, I cried tears of joy and thankfulness. And recalling my deliverance has given me a renewed sense of joy and thankfulness. I am so thankful for the delivering power of God that I no longer live that miserable existence that I would call the life of shame and guilt and condemnation. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that He loved me, that He didn't give up on me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity to share, Lord God, your delivering power, your grace and mercy, God. Lord, that you never gave up on me. You kept your eyes on me the whole time, Lord God. And it's not you that ever gives up on us, God, but it's us, that, Lord, that we walk out on you, Father. Father, I pray that this testimony will touch someone this morning, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them close to you, God. Open their eyes, God. Open their hearts to your word, Lord Jesus, God, that they may see, God. God, expose the lies of the enemy, God, when he comes and gets them and tells them they're not worthy, Lord. God, that you would not forgive them, Lord, but God, that you love them with an everlasting love. Father, I give you praise and I give you glory and I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Wow.
You're welcome.
I was reliving something there as you were talking about your mom being in church. Isn't that, I mean, I experienced similar things when I would go to church. I wouldn't go all the time when the Lord first started dealing with me. And I would go to church, and the pastor would always be beating me up, and people around me got their arms in the air, and I'm thinking, oh, man. You know, and it was tearing me up. I wanted to leave.
I know.
And, man, John, did you want to come in and say anything?
No, I just sat here with tears streaming down my face.
Amen.
Knowing what God did for her, and just thank God that He never leaves and He never forsakes us.
I know, and I wanted to say something else too. The one person that I was closest to during all this was my brother. And the devil even had me convinced that my brother no longer cared about me. He also was disappointed in me, and he didn't like me. And that, you know, if the devil can isolate you and get you to believe that no one cares about you, that you're not even worth caring about, it's you know, he's such a liar, and I believed him. But I'd gotten away from the Word of God, and that's what happens. But praise God, I'm free.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to stop the recording. We'll open the line up. I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. Thank Sister Darlene for sharing her willingness to share. And I know that this will help someone. As Brother John spoke, I had tears as well. I could just feel the presence of the Lord, and I know it's going to touch someone's heart. And if anybody's out there, if you're interested in any these messages of hers or any others, feel free to call 816-729-6649, or you can text, or you can write at P.O. Box 136, Bay City, Missouri, 64011, and we also have a playback number. That's 605-562-0029, and you can call and listen to this message or any of the others that are on there. And again, we thank you for joining us this morning at the Hands of God Highway Ministries. God bless.